Good morning, everyone. You know, it is a real privilege to be up here when you have a chance to speak. And you might think, oh, great, he's going to teach us stuff. I think one of the most interesting things, you learn a lot when you're actually trying to teach something. So this is one thing I'm working on myself. I'm hoping you're going to come on the journey with us and we all learn together. I'm going to start with just a story. We're in a super fancy restaurant. This is 10 years ago, Brad Creek. It's my brother-in-law's wedding. It's a big celebration. Oh my goodness, are we having fun, right? Just getting down, sitting down, families all around the table, and our server's coming up. She's just pouring water, and I look right at her, and I say, oh, congratulations. When's the baby due? I don't know if you've ever done that. When she said, I'm not pregnant, if I could have crawled under the table at that point, I certainly would have. The challenge was, that was at the start of the meal, and my whole family heard me say that. Oh my God. It was terrible. You know, as we go forward from that meal, I can't actually tell you what I ordered. I can't tell you what I ate. I can't tell you anything about the conversation. It was a good meal, my family informs me, and I've never been back to that restaurant. I have no plans to return to that restaurant. But as I stepped away from that a little bit, I really started thinking, it wasn't so much just that I was embarrassed, which I was, is I had totally shut down. Like, I went inside. And I just kept playing over in my own head what had happened through the whole meal. I wasn't participating in any conversations. I wasn't actually listening to what anyone had to say. I shut down. I think embarrassment's a pretty normal time to do that. I also noticed a couple other incidents. A few weeks ago, I'm, you know, driving, and the snow's been special this year. And a guy blows past me at like 110. I'm like, where are you going? Are you crazy? I can't even see the highway. Where are you going? 10 minutes later, we arrive at the arena, and I can't actually tell you how I got there. Have you had that experience? You're driving into work, and someone does something wrong in traffic. It wouldn't be you, but, you know, they did something wrong. And then you arrive and you're like, I think the radio was going. I can't tell you what songs or what was on the news. How did I get here? I realized I shut down. And there's another time when I can really say this in my life, and I hope you can relate to this as well. It's when you're asked the same question again and again and again and again, maybe by people you love, like your son saying, when am I getting a Lego Death Star? When am I getting a Lego Death Star? And again, I can't tell you anything that happens after that conversation. Like if that's the starting point, we're not going any further. I've shut down. Does that happen sometimes at work? A colleague keeps bringing up the same project or the same idea, and it just seems like we've talked about this before. Do we really have to talk about this again? When I'm shut down, the challenge is I'm not open to outside inputs. You know, it's like a frozen computer screen. You can hear the fan going in the back, but nothing's happening on the screen. So I'm present, but nothing's going on. I'm unlikely to hear what you're saying if I'm in shutdown mode. Now, I've got good news for you. I didn't get food poisoning at that restaurant in Brad Creek. I would have been tempted if I was a server, but she didn't. So maybe it's okay to shut down occasionally. Maybe I don't always have to be present and in the moment. But what if I shut down when it was important? I'm going to take you September 2016, Effie Osborne Parent Council meeting, one of those moments I shut down. That says Terrace Road School. That's different. I'm going to give you a little bit of background because I think it's important. See, I'd run my school, this elementary school, for 5 years as chair. I was one of the leaders of a parent group who actually was responsible for keeping the school open. My wife and I, super involved in that school. We were there all the time. Everyone knew us. So in this school, I had a reputation for getting things done. People were open to my input. We were open to discussion. Because that's super important. Because September 2016, Chantel, if you just switch it, you'll notice that's a different school. I might not have noticed that. There wasn't one parent from my previous school there. So no one knew of my amazing accomplishments, my terrific pedigree. And we're up with against just what I thought was a pretty simple issue. I really did. If you've ever been on a board, one of the questions you should ask is, am I liable if something goes wrong? It's a good question if you're on a board. And we'd actually researched this before at my other school. And we looked into this and actually did quite a bit of research. And we said, no, we don't really need this. So September 2016, this issue comes up again. And I said, running the meeting, I said, you know, I looked into board insurance. We've examined this in my previous board. And we came to the conclusion it's not necessary. We'd be covered for everything other than theft of funds, which just means just good due diligence. So I'm ready to move on. And a parent says, that doesn't seem correct to me. You know, the board, parent council, they're different. My previous school, we built a playground. We're required to have board insurance. Well, that may be true, I said, but we're not building any playgrounds, so we're covered. And again, I'm ready to move on, and then they say this. Oh, Chantel, where am I? This. Oh, there we go. Oh. Have you ever been told that you're 100% wrong? You're 100% wrong. What? And we started a really impressive yelling match back and forth about why we were not this, oh my goodness gracious, back and forth. I can't tell you what happened in the rest of that meeting. I really can't. I was supposed to be running it, and I can't tell you how it got concluded. There was 20 other people in that meeting, and at one point they sort of almost physically pushed us aside. I might have frozen my screen on that one. I might have shut down. I didn't handle that discussion well. I wasn't ready to address the point that this parent was raising. I became a little bit embarrassed. I got angry and I fired back. But did they have a valid point? Was it a conclusion? How do you do when you're questioned? I'm going to have a little bit of fun. There's many other people we know who don't like to be questioned. Whether you're a fan of the current U.S. president, whether you like his policies or not, that actually is not what I'm talking about. I think it's very hard to argue that President Trump actually likes to listen to outside input. It would be very difficult. I actually feel very sorry for his people who manage him. But there's two leadership traits. When I look at them, I said, man, those come out and they come out poorly. Listen to learn. Wow. I'm not sure that ever comes up. And are you open to other ways? Just take his Mexico wall, just for fun. I don't even know if he's still talking about it. We're going to build a wall in Mexico. Who's paying for it? The Mexicans. Did you talk to the Mexicans? No. Do they want it? Well, that's not important. If you've actually have a time to YouTube the Mexican president's response to this one, there's quite a lot of humor, and I couldn't do it because there's quite a lot of swearing as well. But the challenge is, he shut down to any voice but his own. You know, my parent council meeting, President Trump's Mexico wall, actually reminds me of a story in the Bible. I know. For me, one of the most interesting parts of the Bible is that it's a story of humanity. It's a story of how we interact in social situations, how we deal with hard discussion points. And sometimes we get it right, and there's great examples, and sometimes we don't, but they're still awesome stories. This is just a great picture. I think you guys have all seen this wonderful movie, Moses. He's one of the iconic leaders in the Bible. Charlton Heston plays him brilliantly. If you haven't seen this, this is a good one to go find again. And really, he did some amazing things. And we're in the book called Numbers. And in Numbers, he's annoyed some people. Getting on his high horse one day, Korah, son of, and some other people, rebelled against Moses. And he, along with 250 members of the congregation, prominent men in positions on the council, came as a group and they confronted Moses, saying, you've overstepped yourself. The entire community is holy. God's in our midst. Why do you act like you're running the show? I want to highlight just one line. Why do you act like you're running the show? It was similar to a question I got on parent council. Why did I feel like I was running it? It's never an easy question. And it can make me feel like I want to steamroll through. You know, it can be really hard when you're an expert in your field. I think you could argue Moses was an expert. We're all experts. Some of you guys know how to build bridges. Some of you know how to do plumbing. Oh, my goodness, that's an amazing trick. Some of you are skilled mechanics. And when you get kind of a silly question or, no, I don't think you know what you're talking about, it can be very hard not to want to steamroll someone down. So what is your area of expertise? What do you do really well? What is through experience and ability, what have you sort of taught yourself? And when someone asks a question that you don't think is a good one, how well do you take it? Okay. I'm going to ask you to pretend for a second that we're this group of 250 people. Good news, I'm not going to have you turn your chairs towards one another. You don't even have to look at your neighbor if you don't want to. I just want to bring you in. So we as a group have decided that we need to go and talk to Moses. Now, the reason that we're coming together as a group, I've tried to talk to Moses before, and he just shuts me down. And it's pretty hard, because you guys all know Moses' story, right? Baby in a basket, adopted by Pharaoh's daughter, grew up in a palace, was upset, decided he was going to, you know, kill one of our slavers, had to flee. God calls him back. And then he does all these great miracles. Like, do you guys see him when he turned the staff into a snake? Like, that was incredible. And then he made the river turn to blood when the Pharaoh wasn't letting us go. And then remember, he brought all those plagues in. Well, that wasn't fun, but we weren't affected, so it was okay. And then finally let us out. And we get in front of a sea, and what does he do? Oh, the sea is open. Like, that's amazing. And remember when we were hungry? And he said, manna came from heaven, food from heaven. Like, this guy's incredible. But have you noticed that you can't talk to him? Like, if we have an issue and he's just leading us around and around in circles, we can never question his leadership. So, if you guys are with me, for the purposes of this discussion, you are. We're going to go and we're going to go as a group because he can't ignore 250 leaders. We're all leaders and he will listen to us. I truly believe that. So come on. See, you didn't have to turn to one another. That was good. Okay, so we go. We're back in the 21st century. You want to know how this went? Well, what happened? If this was your life, this is Moses, this is what he's accomplished. Pretend for a second that you've done these things. Is it possible you might be a little bit cocky? Is it possible you might be a little bit arrogant? Like, he brought the Ten Commandments down from the mountain. Is it possible that maybe when someone challenged you in your leadership, you might not be willing to listen? I can tell you in my own headspace, when I looked at this, I'm like, whoo! It's my way. It's my way only. So I think it's possible that Moses might have been shut down to outside input, especially when leadership's called in. And so now we as a group did something maybe we didn't intend to, because we just wanted to have a discussion. We embarrassed him. Moses didn't handle this well. In fact, blazed white hot. His temper blazed white hot. That I can totally relate to. It wasn't here. I don't want any other voices. I want this just to go the way I want it to. And so Moses goes right to God, and he sets up an elaborate ritual to prove he's right. But that's not really leadership. Imagine if a colleague just raised a question in a meeting, and rather than answer the question, he said, well, let's just go to the CEO and see what he thinks. Imagine your spouse says, well, I don't really agree with that. Well, let's go talk to your parents about it then. What? Like, it's not really leadership. I have a question. Can you just answer my question? Can you talk about my concern? But Moses doesn't. And I'm just going to read actually what happens next. And the only thing that I want you to think about, or you can think of many things, but think there's consequences to bad leadership. So Moses continued to address the community and said, "This is how you know it was God and not me. If these men die a natural death, like all the rest of us, you know that wasn't God who sent you. But if God does something unprecedented, if the ground were to open and swallow them, and they're pitched alive into hell, then you'll know that these men are insolent with God." Okay. The words are hardly out of his mouth. Earth splits open. We're gulped in. Men, families, human being connected to Korah. And at the sound of their cries, everyone ran away shouting, "We're about to be swallowed up alive." Oh, he's not done yet. Then God sent lightning down, cremated all 250 people who went off to offer. Those consequences. It feels like someone though wanted to be 100% right. The question, remember I parted the seas. This is really more of a punishment. Now, I have to apologize because we're all dead. Sorry about that. Imagine that we had went to church this morning, the ground swallowed us all up and lightning finished off the rest of us. Imagine that our families, I would hope, would not be too happy about that. So our families, the next day, start grumbling. Say, "You killed God's people." And hadn't Moses? Moses' leadership had been put into question. And he wasn't happy with that idea of not being perfect. And he didn't take a calm approach to being questioned at all. So, not admitting he's wrong, he's just going to continue in this way. Moses says to Aaron, "Take your censer, fill it with incense, go to the altar, and let the anger of God pour out." And a plague started. So Aaron grabbed the censer, ran into the midst. Plague had begun. And he put the burning into the censer and then eventually stopped the plague. But he didn't stop the plague before 14,700 people died, not counting those who were swallowed up from the earth. Do you wonder sometimes why these stories are even in the Bible? Like, how do we relate to this in the 21st century? What does this mean? And this looks like the best wisdom of our spiritual ancestors? Really? Who won? Like, we killed 15,000 people. Is there a winner there? At my parent council meeting at F.E. Auburn School, when I got embarrassed and I stopped listening because I felt I was right, who won? President Trump's leadership style? Who's winning? Is this story of Moses, is this the best wisdom of our spiritual ancestors? The best? I think it is. Significant consequences can happen when we shut down. There's two ideas of good leadership here that are important. If we listen to learn, and we're open to other ways. Listening to learn is telling people, you're significant. When I'm not listening to learn, you're not significant. You would think if you're just going to be a good listener that you would become a great leader by extension, correct? If people feel that you're hearing them. Okay. No. I was at two City of Calgary open houses. So they were proposing changing the zoning in our community. They had Lego models of the streets. Like, if you want to get me on your side, you just come out with Lego models and I'm interested. And we as a community were being asked, do we want 4, 5, or 6-story zoning in our thing? Now imagine behind your house, your backyard neighbor is a 6-story building. You could see what we came back with. We currently in our community have 1 4-story building. So, went through 2 open houses, watched all this discussion, they took notes, read all the notes, and we as a community agreed, yeah, as long as it stops at 4-story. The city came back with this conclusion. Yes, the community supports development, and they favor a 6-story new zoning bylaw. Well, no, no. So we felt we were listened to, there was discussion, but they weren't trying to learn anything from us. That didn't make anyone feel very significant. And that type of the process, the worst, where we seemed to listen and discuss, but we weren't open to our own late, open to other ways. I can think of how often I do it in my own life. See if you've ever done this. Hey, what movie do you want to watch tonight? Oh, it's great, yeah. I heard, though, like it didn't do too well on Rotten Tomatoes, so why don't we watch this one instead? What restaurant do you want to go to? Oh, I'm not in the mood for spicy food. Maybe we can do something else. Now, those are small things, but then all of a sudden you realize the last 10 movies you watched were all science fiction action movies. Thank you. And we had pizza for the last 8 meals in a row, and you hate pizza. How did that happen? Because the questions, they seem really sincere. But I wasn't really listening to what you were saying. Leadership, I would say, is not always in the big gestures. It's not always the big meetings, the big political rallies. It's not always the person parting the Red Sea. Leadership happens all the time. All the time in our life. We're a leader. And getting this right is hard. Taking the time to really hear someone and then taking the time to say, are we open to another way? Whew. Okay. Is there a way that we can create an environment where we're not just listening to different ideas? We want them to have a chance to flourish and grow. Yeah, I think there is. Chantal, you get my picture? Thank you. I'm back at this school just this fall. I don't have kids going there anymore. I'm coming back actually on behalf of the F.E. Osborne Parent Council, and we're looking for some funding for a big project. So we just sat down, and Linda, who's the new chair of Terrace Road School, says, thanks for coming. We're looking forward to hearing what you have to say. And so we present. And after we present, Linda goes around to each and every member there and says, what were your thoughts? What were your thoughts? What were your thoughts? And she let him speak. Wasn't in a rush. Wasn't trying to finish anything. Just let them speak. And then, hey, did you have any other questions? Did you have any other questions? Do you have any other questions? And let them ask. What I realized as I was watching this leadership, there's no chance for embarrassment. What's the chance to be angry? She's asking people to give their thoughts, to give their feedback. What is the most amazing thing about this is 2 brand new ideas emerge from this discussion. Things that we weren't going to even move forward on. So yeah, we were there for the money, but the ideas that we got were even more valuable. I have thought about that meeting a lot. I mean a lot. Because I can tell you, I have never ran in a meeting that effective. Never. I can tell you I was out quicker quite a few times. But I don't think everyone felt heard. And more importantly, 2 ideas that we wouldn't have created on our own came out of that discussion. Just by asking, what are your thoughts? Do you have any questions? And because Linda was open to the discussion, she was inviting discourse. She was inviting conflict. Linda got this right. People felt significant. New ideas emerged. Imagine if you would just imagine that the next time you feel you're going into shutdown mode, that instead you reset, you unfreeze the computer, and you take the time to listen and be open. Would you be willing? If your kid asks you for the Lego Death Star, rather than seeing red or just shutting down, what are we talking about here? If your spouse wants spicy food, okay, sweetie, what are we talking about here? If your coworker is coming, hey, this is the project we need to go forward, and you're like, oh, why do you say that? When you hear them, can you start a dialogue with them? And think of this dialogue not to get to compromise. I love this quote. If anyone's a fan of Stranger Things, Compromise. 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 How's that for your word of the day? Yeah. It's something that's kind of in between. It's like halfway happy. A lot of times we do that on leadership. We think if I can't get my way, then we're not going to make sure anyone else is going to get their way exactly either. We don't. So we think compromise is that halfway happy. I don't think that's what has to happen all the time. I think by taking the time and having the space, we can actually find a better way a lot of times. But this ain't easy. I mean, Moses got this wrong. Moses, one of the great leaders in the Bible, wasn't willing to listen to what I think was likely a real concern. He had everything figured out already, and there was no reason to listen. Politely, whether you like President Trump or not, it's very difficult to say he's open to new ideas. Very difficult. And I've seen how this approach kills discussion. From my own experience, I can just tell you, I have to believe that I can't run an efficient meeting. I have to run an effective one. Meeting where everyone's heard. Imagine a world where discussion is actually encouraged. Where different ideas can be expressed. Imagine if your kids feel heard for a change. If your spouse feels like they actually get input. If your coworkers actually watch a plan that you guys created together and their ideas are implemented. What does that look like? You know, I was sharing just at the start, I've been working on this message for a while, and I was really proud of myself at a recent board meeting, because when an objection came up that I thought was crazy, I didn't, like, jump down that person's throat. And in fact, I let discussion go on for quite a while. And then I even raised some questions around it. So I was feeling pretty good. A couple days later, someone nudges me. So, Trevor, we need to play poker. It's like, what do you mean? Well, you know, at that board meeting, when that question was raised, your face, like, it went. And you know, your question still had a bit of sarcasm in it. I'm like, son of a. So it isn't easy. It isn't easy. You have to give it space. And I really, for me, I have to be able to clear what's in the back of my head to really listen. I still have lots to learn. Would you be willing this week to listen to learn? Not to listen to answer, not to listen to reply, to listen to learn. That's telling other people you're significant. And would you be open to other ways? Remember, none of us has this all figured out. None of us. There's lots of different ways that we could go. So we're leaders. Test out this idea. See what it's like, and other points of views are valid. Should be open to hearing them this week. Some of it's just a quick prayer. Oh, for me, Lord, I know I got work to do in this area. I'm just hoping that I have the patience and the ability to really hear what people are saying so I can hear other ways. Pray that for everyone. Have a great Sunday, everyone.